Elhamdülillah, Rabbil Alemin. Estağfirullah, ellezî lâ ilâhe illâhu el-hayyul kayyûm ve etûbi ileyh. Hasbe tevbete ve mağfirete ve hidayete innehu ettevvâbur rahîm. Ve affu enna ya kerîm. Vahfir lana bi fazlike ya Rahman ya Rahim. Ya Meliki, ya Kuddüsü, ya Hafızı, ya Allah. El evveli Allah, el ahiri Allah. El zahiri Allah, el batini Allah. Hayrihi ve şerrihi min Allahu Teala. Ve eşhedü en la ilahe illallah vahdehu la şerike leh. Ve eşhedü enne Muhammedun abduhu ve resuluhu. Esselatu vesselamu aleyke ya Resulallah. Esselatu vesselamu aleyke ya Habiballah. Esselatu vesselamu aleyke ya Seyyidel Evveline vel Ahirin. İşfelena ya Şefi el Mecidin. Bir rahmetike ya Erhamer Rahimin. قال الله تعالى في كتاب العزيز أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وعبد ربك حتى يأتيك اليقين صدق الله العظيم الله تعالى says in Quran al-Kerim and serve your Lord until there comes to you that which is certain. Serve Allahu Teala till that which is certain comes you, which is death. Serve Allahu Teala during all your life. Last week I brought to you the ayat in which Allah Ta'ala says that if you do an atom worth of good, you will see it. And if you do an atom's worth of evil, you will see it. And I wished and I prayed that these ayats would become constantly in our conscience, that we shouldn't forget a moment in our life, that everything which we do is clearly recorded and we will see its effect, not only on the Yawmiddin, but as I tried to explain last time, but also in this life on this earth. We are already used to it. There are security cameras all around the place, not only in public places inside, but outside on the streets. They listen to our phone calls, they read our emails. I mean, we are used to having lost what we thought our privacy, that we can do things which people will not see. But Allah Ta'ala has such security cameras which doesn't only see our outside, but it sees our inside. It sees our feelings, our thoughts, our intentions. And we are told clearly that we will pay for it if we do anything wrong. And we will be rewarded for what we do right. Now, under these circumstances, if we truly believe this and keep this principle in mind at all times in our lives, there is one thing which we have to be, is that we have to be heedful. We have to be conscious. We have to know what we are doing, which we're not. Most of us, most of the time, our eyes are open, but we are asleep. And we really don't know what we are doing, what we are saying. But if we tried to be conscious in our life, then do we know what to do? Usually, we do what we want to do, what our egos want us to do. Five hundred years ago, in the capital of the then new Ottoman Kingdom, in the city of Bursa, there was a young chief justice by the name of Hazrat Hudai. And at the same time, in the same city, there was a saintly sheikh, a Waliullah, who was called Hazrat Uftada. The young judge wanted very much to be a murid to Hazrat Uftada. And one day he came to Hazrat Uftada and begged him if he would take him as his dervish. And Hazrat Uftada said, he said, no, not in the state in which you are, I can take you as my murid, because you are the judge of the Ottoman kingdom and you have to continue what you are doing. Hazrat Hudai insisted, what should I do that I can become your dervish? He said, I am ready to quit my being a judge. He said, no, no, you don't have to quit being a judge, but you have to somehow change your feeling and your attitude as a judge, that you have to tame your ego. So, Ya Sheikh, what should I do? He said, well, go to the butcher where they kill animals, get yourself five or six livers. At those days, they used to sell practically everything on the street. And in my youth also, even today in Turkey, there is the milkman who passes through the street. There's milkman, milkman, and the vegetable man passes the street. You know, but no longer liver man. So there was a stake with a pointed end. You put the livers, we pierce the livers, put it on the stake, and you put it on your back, and you go around the streets and shouting, I am selling livers, fresh livers. The head judge, the supreme judge, was supposed to do that. But he said, okay. So bloody mess, he got 10 livers and put it on a stake and on his shoulder. He was running the streets of Bursa selling liver. And everybody thought that the supreme judge had lost his mind. In any case, so Hazrat Uftada took Hazrat Hudai as his dervish. And he advanced so quickly, so much spiritually, that the Shaykh loves him best amongst the Jama'at, and everybody else was jealous. And one day, to show the rest of the people the supremacy of Hazrat Huda'i, that's why he loved him, he called the dervishes and he said, "Today let us have chicken for dinner." In those days, the Sufi centers had their farms, their chicken coops and their sheep and everything else. So everybody went, but he said, "Kill a chicken somewhere where nobody sees you." So all the dervishes went and hid themselves behind walls or hid themselves in rooms and this and that, and killed the chicken and plucked the chicken and brought it to Hazrat Uftada. Hazrat Uda'i came with a live chicken in his hand, going cluck, cluck, cluck, you know. And of course they all laughed that he could not even kill a chicken. "Ya Huda'i," said Hazrat Uftada, "look, everybody killed that chicken and plucked them and came. One simple thing can't you do?" "Ah, my Shaykh," said he, "but you put a condition. You said that we were supposed to kill that chicken, that nobody sees us. Wherever I went, wherever I hid," he said, "I saw Allah Ta'ala watching me." One day Jibreel alayhi salam came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said that Allah Ta'ala sent his salam and sent you a gift. "Ya Jibreel, what is that gift?" "That gift," said he, "is ihsan." "Ya Jibreel, what is ihsan?" "Ihsan is that even though that you do not see Allah Ta'ala and you cannot see Allah Ta'ala, ihsan is to know that He sees you." So if Allah Ta'ala right now, which we do not see, sees you listening to me, and sees me talking to you, He doesn't only see that, but He knows what are my intentions in telling you the things which I tell you, and what is your reaction in listening to what I am telling you. Furthermore, He sees that what are you going to do with what you are listening to today, tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, till the day you die, and what is my responsibility till the day I die to say to you the things which I am telling you. Now, if we truly believed in that, and Allah Ta'ala, astaghfirullah, does not lie, everything which is in the Quran, although it seems to us strange, they are facts, then how should we behave? In another ayat, Allah Ta'ala says, radiallahu anhum وَرَزَاهُ أَنْهَا. Allah Ta'ala is pleased with them and they are pleased with Him. So if we believe that He watches you at every moment in our life, our only salvation is to please Him. How do we please Him? Hazreti Musa aleyhisselam, it is said, prayed to Allahu Teala, O Lord, teach me an action, a work, which I am able to do, which will please you. Ya Musa, said Hazreti Allahu Teala, you are incapable of doing it. Hearing this, Hazreti Musa alayhisselam threw himself on the floor and was shedding tears and totally devastated. Ya the son of Imran, said Allahu Ta'ala, you see? If you would be pleased with my judgment, then I will be pleased with you. If we would be pleased with our Lord, that is all what it takes to be an Abdullah, to be servant of Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Ibn Atta says, there are four things, not five, four things which will suffice to make us the servant of Allah Ta'ala. Number one, to keep our promises. In alam-e arwah, when Allah Ta'ala created our souls before He created our body, He addressed us, Alastu bi Rabbikum, am I not your Lord? And qalu bala, and we said, indeed, you are our Lord. That is a promise, that is a contract, that we promised, our soul promised to Allah Ta'ala that He is our master, our soul, and we are His servant, His slave. But then all our promises, when we say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, I witness, that there is no God but Allah. That is a promise we have to keep, that promise. Or we promise our child a bar of chocolate, we have to keep that promise too. Number two, to follow the divine law, to follow the Sharia. Oh, but we do, don't we? You see, we come to Friday prayer, we do our five times a day prayer, hopefully sometimes in time. We fast during Ramadan, some of us went to Hajj. We do follow the Sharia. What? Is that the Sharia? Sharia is to do what Allah tells you, Ta'ala tells you to do, and not to do what Allah Ta'ala tells you not to do. This is Number two, obligation for the servant of Allah Ta'ala. Number three, please with what you have. Who is totally pleased during 24 hours a day of what you have? Pleased with your husbands, with your wives, with your children, with your neighbors, with your house, with your car, with your job, with the weather. Who is totally pleased with everything during the day? That's a condition. To be pleased with what you have, you don't have it any other way, you don't want it. You don't want any more, nor you don't want any less. You are thankful to have exactly what you have, whether you're sick or not, whether you're in pain or not, whether you're cold or not. You are happy about it. And finally, to be patient with what you lack. You lack money, you lack health, you are sick, you lack a good wife, you lack an obedient child, you lack this, you lack that, but you are perfectly content and happy and patient. So if you and I can abide with just four simple rules, we will be called Abdullah. Abdullah, to be servant of Allah, is it so important to be? Well, when we say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadun abduhu wa rasuluhu, and Allah Ta'ala in Surah Bani Israel says, glory to him who carried his servant abdihi at night from Masjid Haram to Masjid Aqsa. In Surah Najm, so he revealed to Abdihi, his servant, what he revealed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is first Abdihi, the servant of Allah Ta'ala, then Rasuluhi, then his messenger. There is no greater honor. There is no greater perfection of one's spiritual state than to become the servant of Allah Ta'ala. And it is not so difficult. It is not slavery. It is much easier to be a servant of Allah Ta'ala than being a servant of a human being. Your boss, your wife, your husband, Mr. Obama, or anyone. And that is the goal for every Muslim, nay, for any human being. If he wants felicity, peace, comfort, salvation in this world, elindi yarattı. Ya Rabbi, help mercy on this Islam.
Amen.
And raise our state.
Amen.
To the level of Ahl-i Haya, Ahl-i Takva, Ahl-i Tevekkül, Ahl-i Şükür, Ahl-i Sabur.
Amen.
Ya Rabbi, raise our state into the level of ibadullah salihin.
Amin.
Ez Resulullah sallallahu aleyhi ve sellem presented us during his miraj to you.
Amin.
Ya Rabbi, all of ümmeti Muhammed, Ya Rabbi, raise that state to the level of ehli haya, ehli takva, ehli tevekkül, ehli şükür, ehli sabur. Amin. Hizmet-i Seyyidler Müsterim, Taha ve Yasin. Allah'ın kızını şunluğun var. And so many gifts from the beginning of our lives till the end of our lives that we cannot possibly count. But the greatest gift, Ya Rab, which you have given us is Iman and Ihsan and Islam. And the greatest gift which you have given us is your beloved, who is the living Quran, Hazreti Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu aleyhi ve sellem, as our teacher, our guide, our intercessor. For all those gifts, Ya Rab, we have never been sufficiently thankful to you. On the contrary, we are always dissatisfied and want more and want other things than what we have. Ya Rabbi, have mercy on us.
Amen.
And have mercy upon all of Ummati Muhammad.
Amen.
And teach us thankfulness.
Amen.
And count us amongst your thankful servants.
Amen.
Ya Rab, to test our loyalty to you, our obedience to you, our faith in you, and our love and fear for you, not that you know not, but so that we know ourselves. You test us sometimes with some pain and some sickness, with some hunger and some poverty, and taking away from us things which we think are our own, but in reality which are already yours. And Ya Rab, we never show patience. Although you say in Allahumma sabirin that you are side by side with the one who shows patience, although you say that patience is the key to paradise, Ya Rabbi, have mercy on us and on all of the Messenger Muhammad, and teach us patience.
Amen.
And count us amongst your patience for me. Ya Wahid, Ya Ahad.
Ya Allah.
Ya Wahid, Ya Ahad, you say hold on to your religion and do not separate yourselves from each other. Your beloved says the Muslims are brothers with each other. And he says that if we do not love each other for your sake, our iman is incomplete. And your beloved says that my ummah is like one single body. If it's a single ache, the whole body aches. 1.5 billion or more of us, we call ourselves Muslims, O Lord, but we do not love each other. We do not care for each other. In fact, many of us, we hate each other. We kill each other. We are 1.5 billion of separate people with no sense of unity whatsoever. Yet, Ya Rab, in that religion of ours, there are periods when we were together, and when we were together and united, we were wise, we were beautiful, we were powerful, people loved us, people feared us, people copied us. Ya Rab, it was only yesterday. Ya Rab, bring back unity to Ummati Muhammad.
Ameen.
Bring back the beauty and the wisdom and the strength.
Ameen.
Back to Ummati Muhammad.
Ameen.
Ameen. Bi hurmati Sayyidina al-Mursaleen, Taha wa Yasin. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad al-Masirat al-Marwan. Fathaqab al-Asharan. Fikarara al-Jadidan. Fasakbal al-Sarfadan. فبارك بروحه وارواح اهل بيته من الصلوات والسلام.
امين.
فبارك وسلم عليه كثيرا كثيرا كثيرا. فصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى جميع الانبياء والمرسلين والاولياء والصالحين وعلى ملائكتك والمقربين وعلى اهل سعادتك اجمعين من اهل السماوات والاربعين.
امين.
فرضوان الله تعالى على ال رسول الله واصحابه اجمعين.
Amen.
Amen. Alhamdulillah.